Okay, but yeah, no, so anyway, what I was trying to tell you, I wanted to get this on recording though. So, little known fact about me: before I met Aaron, I dated a Swiftie, like a die hard. Like I will kill to get Taylor Swift tickets.
Yeah,
like literally, she will like commit murder to get Taylor Swift tickets. That's how crazy, you know, she was.
Oh yeah.
In general, not just about Taylor Swift, right? Mm-hmm. But I've literally been to all of her tours except for the last two. So.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah, it's wild.
I'm going to Madrid.
Really?
In May 30th to see Taylor Swift. And I saw her last year.
Really?
Like, I'm not like a concert crier, right?
No.
I'm not even a terribly emotionally outward person.
Yeah.
But she just came on the stage and I started crying. Me and a bunch of 14-year-old girls were like, oh my God. I was like, I don't know why I'm crying right now.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it was really funny.
Yeah, yeah. And I see you on Instagram all the time. You have that. You like to cycle to that, right? You have it for your SoulCycle.
Yes. So I'm SoulCycle instructor. And then we do Taylor Swift Tuesdays every Tuesday.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. So if I want to rock out the Taylor Swift, it's got to be on Tuesdays.
On Tuesdays, okay. Yes.
Well, listen, let's jump in. Hey, everybody. My name is John Brocato, and I'm the host of the Unleash Your Potential podcast. My co-host, Robert Avedia, is not here today. I'm flying solo, but we will check in with him in a little bit. But listen, I've got a very special guest. I am so excited. But welcome back. You know, it's been a couple of weeks since we recorded. You know, business has gotten busy. Spring break was going on. Life gets in the way, but we find a way to pursue our goals and persist either way. But hey, joining us today is one of my closest friends, like top 10 favorite humans in the world, life coach Meg Ellis. And if you guys remember, she was on the virtual coffee break earlier this week. If you haven't seen that, go back to my Facebook and check out the recording, because she brought so much value, but that won't even be close to the value that she brings today. Before we forget and we jump in, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Unleash Your Potential Podcast and on YouTube at Unleash Your Potential 2024. Meg, good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad I made the top 10. That makes me feel really
Yeah,
good.
Literally in my top 10.
Start my morning.
Yeah, yeah. And well, speaking of your morning, how was your commute from the to the west side, best side of Houston today? Talk
about
that.
And you know, I'm a looper. If you're not familiar with the term looper, I enjoy staying inside of the inner circle of Houston. I've been there. It's my safe space, right? So I only venture out of the loop for my top 10.
That's right.
So,
that's
you
right.
know, there was a couple of lights out, a couple of traffic things. I don't even really know.
Yeah.
I detoured or tried to detour 3 times, so I ended up sitting in the traffic 3 times.
yeah. And was it 3 times as long, or so just got you back into the same mess, or what?
No. One was, okay, I'm not good with the north and the south, but I was going west.
Yes.
And then I tried to go around, and I ended up going north.
Uh-huh.
And then what got me here was coming south.
Really?
So, yes. So I experienced it from all angles.
That's funny. You know, and it's interesting because a lot of people think all the chaos is inside the loop, but those are people that haven't really experienced Houston too much. It's chaos all over the place.
Yes.
I mean, it really is.
It was chaotic, but at the same time, you know, I have, you know, my own podcast as well.
Yeah.
And I had just done this episode on traffic and sitting in traffic. Because
it's a great
relatable topic, because everybody sits in traffic,
yeah,
and
sure.
nobody likes it.
Right.
So it's like, what do you do when you're stuck doing something that you don't like? And so I said, you know, my advice in my own podcast was stop saying and assuming that you're going to be late, or talking about, I don't want to be late.
Yeah.
You just stop talking about what you don't want and talk about what you do want. So
right.
I said, I want to get there quickly. Right.
Yeah.
And this is on my third detour. And as soon as I said, no, I want to get there quickly, I saw there was a school bus and a couple, you know, cars in front of me, and it said 999, which is an angel number, like a little sign, like from the universe being like, hey, you're good, just relax. So it was really cool.
That's awesome. And I feel like a lot of people manifest all the negative stuff into their life.
Yes.
Just from not knowing how to ask for what they want. They say, I don't want this versus I do want.
Yes.
That. It's a wild thing. We are powerful manifestors. That's the type of life coaching that I do. It's all about energy, and you know, we'll get into that a little bit later, but it's all about like your energy and where you're directing your energy. And I think if people are new to manifesting, here's a kind of umbrella term that people can understand: is what you put out there is what you get back.
Right.
So if I'm putting out there all these things about what I don't want to be late, I don't want to sit in this traffic, I don't want to find another detour that's not going to work. I didn't try what east, I should have gone that way, I guess. But anyway, I could focus on what I don't want, what I don't want, what I don't want. But you're still a powerful manifester, whether you know it or not, you are. Yeah. And people just manifest negativity into their life.
Yeah. Well, it's like everything. I think everything's about feedback. It's like what you put in is what you get out, or what you put out is what you get in. Right? It's always about feedback.
Yeah, it's this energy exchange, because energy is not created nor destroyed. It's just transferred. So yeah. I could have showed up and like, oh man, this is terrible. I just sat in traffic for 45 minutes, yeah. blah, blah, blah. And then I transfer that energy into this podcast, and then somebody hearing this would receive that negative energy, and then they transfer it somewhere else, and it's yeah. this ripple effect.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually was on the phone with a friend, and I said, you know what, I'm going to hang up, I'm going to ground myself and just kind of come back to some positive energy so yeah. I can walk in the door and show up authentically and positively for, yeah. you know, all the listeners.
Hey, it's positive vibes for everybody
today. Yeah, we're just
positive vibes. We had the hand, we're recording video, so we got the hand motions. But hey, so talking about manifesting, you know, it's, I'm so glad that we got to do this, by the way, because the last time when I was on your podcast, it's been, almost 2 years.
That was your birthday.
Yeah. And so it's been a year and a half. It's been a long time. And I'm really glad that we got to do this now with ours. So Meg, you're a conscious life coach.
Conscious life coach.
You know, and I'm sure you didn't just, you know, end up that by accident, right? I think, you might have somehow and other things in your life might have led you to that profession. But
yes.
So are you from Houston originally?
I'm not. I'm a fellow Northeasterner. Like
yes!
You. Yes.
That's right.
I know.
We stick together. We manifest towards each other and gravitate towards each other.
I know. One thing we can bond over is just the hunt for the perfect Italian down in Texas.
Yes. And not to interrupt, but literally right across, we didn't plan this by the way, but right across from our office by the Lupe Tortilla is Lamonti. Shout out to Lamonti's. Their food is amazing.
Okay, Lamonti, sponsor us.
Yeah, right? I'm going to talk to Barbie. That's the owner, Barbie Lamonti. She's fantastic.
Okay, next time I venture out of the loop, we'll go over.
Yeah, no, it's great. But anyway, so you're from the Northeast.
Yes, from the Northeast. I ended up in Texas about 10 years ago. Actually, this October will be my 10-year anniversary.
Let's go.
In Texas. So I think I'm officially a Houstonian at this point. I say y'all. You know,
yeah, and I don't do that yet, but you know,
use guys. Well, I'm from Pittsburgh and they say yins, and that's just no one's trying to say that, so I've never said that, but I have adapted the y'all mentality. So, I was married, that's how I ended up in Texas. I'm not married anymore, but I decided, hey, I really like the warm weather as opposed to the cold weather,
sure.
And I was making this transition. I actually was a dental hygienist for 13 years of my life. And I knew that wasn't lighting me up inside. I knew I had a lot of purpose, right? I knew I had a lot of gifts and talents to tap into.
Yeah.
This potential, right?
Yeah,
which is why it's perfect for this podcast. And I was no longer afraid to tap into it.
Yeah.
So I had started this journey into full-time fitness, which was much better at the time 10 years ago in Houston, a bigger city, than it was in Pittsburgh. So I said, you know what, I'm going to stay, even though my marriage was ending,
right?
And I didn't have any family here. I had established friends and
you built some relationships.
Yeah, exactly, and took off from here.
So. Yeah, so you went from dental hygienist into fitness, and you found your calling there, you know. And then how did that transition into life coaching?
So that transition was. It was very cohesive, because if you've ever been in a Soul Cycle class, or a spin class, or any type of workout class, or you see the videos, the instructor is very motivating and coaching you in a way to set an intention for the beginning of class and then stick to it. And it's my job to get you to stick to it for 45 minutes.
Right.
And I said, okay, if I could get someone to stick for something for 45 minutes, then maybe I can do this a little bit longer. I really liked seeing people overcome hurdles. I really liked seeing people achieve their potential.
Right.
So that's what got me interested in it. And I had started some networking groups for fitness professionals. Mm-hmm. And I was coaching fitness professionals.
Really?
On how to actually be their own entity and not rely on a studio.
Yeah, sure.
And then, you know, all the COVID stuff really just kind of...
I threw that for a loop, huh?
Yes, but in a good way.
Yeah,
because it was kind of interesting. One of my favorite books is Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers.
Mm. Love that book.
So good, right?
Yeah.
It's
such a good book.
If you've not read that, you have to read it. But it is. I kind of felt like an outlier, because I had discovered the Enneagram, which yes. is my one of my foundations. So consciousness, right? You have to be awareness of how you're living your life, awareness mm-hmm. if you're happy in your life, awareness of how you're feeling, awareness of your actions and your intentions, and then more, your beliefs and yeah. thought processes. But sure. the Enneagram is a second foundation of my coaching, and I had discovered it when mm-hmm. I was coaching. You know, I was getting into coaching some small businesses too. And I realized I discovered this Enneagram test, and I felt exposed, seen. I was like, oh my God, this is why I do what I do. Yeah. This is why I don't do what I don't do, right? And I started using that to coach these business owners and people in business who I had been coaching. And I said, you know what? I actually like coaching the people better yeah. than the business.
Yeah.
So that just projected into, you know, COVID and where people were going through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just a really great time to be a life coach during
yeah,
COVID.
So yeah, sure.
just kind of exploded in the best way.
Yeah. And I think it's awesome because, I mean, people, you know, were exposed to more negativity than ever, more fear than ever. Mm-hmm. They were, I mean, if I'm being real, they got stuck with their partners with more time than they probably spent with their partner in a very long yeah. time.
A lot of people travel all the time yeah. and now you're not.
And exposed so much in people's lives and mentalities and relationships. I could see that being a boom for the, I mean, that was a huge boom for us too, you know, where people were worried about money and trying to get things right. I mean, our business tripled, you know, during COVID. I became yeah. a regional vice president, got my own office during COVID. I mean, yeah. I'm with you on that. So kind of it's a funny question. Well, actually, it's not a funny question. It might be a funny answer.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, no. So we all have that one friend that we're like, this person needs a governor in their life. They need a person that is unbiased, that doesn't maybe know their past and doesn't know what their goals are yet, and has no place of judgment. But they need somebody to help them get their shit together, figuratively speaking, right? They need a life coach, right? We all have that one friend that needs a life coach. How do you think, Meg, how do we make that suggestion? How do we get somebody to talk to you
yeah.
about making those changes in their life?
I get this a lot, actually. Yeah. It's like, hey, how do I tell my friend without being like, you need some serious help, dude, you know?
Yeah, like I'm a Northeasterner, I'll just tell them, but that's not always the best way to do right. it, right?
Right, it's the delivery is important, but also how it's received is also yeah, important. Yeah, sure. You have to have that connection for both to work. So my first question is, make sure you're not that friend.
Yeah, right. That's good, that's true.
Are you 100% sure that you're not that friend?
Yeah.
Or are you that friend for somebody, right? So a lot of times, what, and this goes into consciousness, what yeah. I observe about you is probably something that I see in myself, right? You are my mirror. Everybody, because your life
yeah.
is about you. My life is about me.
Yeah.
And I'm also an NLP practitioner, which basically is, you know, your mind plays tricks on you all the time. I just help you trick it back.
Right.
And there's a lot that goes on with your mind, and you actually absorb less than 1% of the information that's out there. Your brain can compute 1% of it.
Yeah.
And how you get to that 1% is based off of your past experiences, your, right. you know, everything that you've experienced thus far. Mm-hmm. So now I'm actually looking for certain things.
Right.
And what I notice about the situations around me is based on really what I know about myself.
Yeah.
So if you have somebody who you're like, oh my God, this person is just like, oh, terrible with money, and they're just not, you know, getting out of this circle, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, well, what is your feeling about whatever you're experiencing tell you about yourself?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, this person's just so irresponsible. Well, where is that showing up in your life?
Right.
So my first question is always, well, do you need a life coach?
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
I mean, I have one.
Yeah, sure.
You know? It's a great thought partner to have.
Yeah.
So that's the first question. But then, you know, secondly, it's also a lot easier to recommend something when you do it yourself.
When you do it, yeah. That's right? Critical. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. Like, how would you, you know, hey, man, go to the gym. I've been working out. I feel great. I think you should do it too.
Yeah.
You could feel great too.
Yeah. No, it's 100%. And I think that translates to any positive change that, you know, you'd like somebody to make. It's do it first. In fact, leaders do it first, right? Or they should do it first. We talk about the same thing with our businesses. Say, hey, if, you know, you should get your money right before you help somebody else, right? So it makes a ton of sense. You know, and speaking about, you know, life coaching and NLP, because Robert and I talk a lot about NLP, you know, on the podcast. And, you know, by the way, I just got to tell you, and I know he's going to agree with this. He was so impressed, by the way, with your content on Tuesday.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so he was just blown away. He's like, wow, she's awesome. She got to come back and hang out with us more.
Anytime.
But yeah, so let's jump into our topic, because I think it's going to be a really interesting perspective coming from you as a life coach and B as an NLP practitioner. You know, one of the things that happens this time of year, you know, it's like in January, everyone's speaking of the gym as the analogy. Everyone's at the gym, like you can't find a machine January 2nd.
The
right?
Resies, they're called Resies.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. The New Year's resolution people. And then, you know, some of them stick around in February, but like by March, it's like a ghost town.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's interesting. As a fitness instructor, I literally see this firsthand.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You see that. Yeah. And so it's, it, you know, I wanted us to discuss today, you know, why people, when they set a goal or a resolution, whatever they want to call it, and I know it matters what they call it, by the way, but like for the example, you know, why, you know, do people either not hit their goal, give up on their goal, or don't even try? You know?
Okay, let's take that in three pieces. Not hit it, give up on it,
and then
don't even try.
Yeah.
So we'll separate those three, but I'm sure there's cohesion between the three. So let's just talk about not hitting it.
Yeah.
Right? And then we have giving up on it, and then not even setting it. So I'm not going to hit my goal. Did you set one?
Yeah. A lot of people don't, right? A lot of people set goals. And same thing with life coaching. Like, it's not just about the gym. It's like, oh, like I said this is the year I'm going to go see a therapist or a life coach or go to the gym or start my business or do this, whatever it is, right? I didn't do it. I didn't hit it. I didn't stick with it. I didn't get to the end game because I didn't decide that I was going to.
Right.
The power of decision.
And I think people, you know, they think they decide, but they don't actually decide. It's like a hokey pokey with their goal. Or maybe they don't even truly want that goal. Maybe they set it because somebody else imposed it on them. You know, like for example, you know, years ago, I had a family member say, "Hey, man, you are in bad shape," and I was like almost 400 pounds. They said, "You got to do something about that. Like, you need to fix that. You're gonna be dead before you're 30." And I said, "Yeah, you're right. I probably should do that." And I set a goal. I'm gonna lose 20 pounds, but I didn't really decide to do it. They imposed the goal on me, but I didn't really decide myself that I needed to do it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So I think it's both.
You right. know? Exactly. It's again. It's like. People also are more likely to act on their own ideas. Yeah. So when it comes to suggesting something for a friend, whether it be go to the gym or get a life coach, it's like, hey, this really helped me. Would you be interested in it?
Yeah,
and
sure.
And people coming up with their own idea, actually, they feel connected to it. They remember it. Great for leaders, too. It's like, that's why ask questions is so important, because if I tell you to do something, you're going to be like in one ear, out the other.
Yeah.
You're going to probably forget what I told you. But if I can get you to come up with the idea, it's like that movie Inception.
Yeah.
It's literally a thing.
You know, it is.
If I can have you come up with the idea, you'll remember it.
Yeah. Well, I heard. I'm sorry to interrupt. If you say it, they doubt it. But if they say it, it's true. That's what I heard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to remember that.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So you're saying that, okay, did they even set a goal, or if they did they decide?
Did you set it, and when it comes to setting goals, a lot of times people set goals, again, going back to manifesting and the energy of like, hey, I don't want to be late.
Right.
You set goals based on something that you don't like about yourself.
Right. That's big.
Mm-hmm. I don't like my weight.
Yeah.
I don't like how I look in the mirror.
Or I want to lose so and such.
Yeah. Right. So tell me, set a goal, even just the way you reframe your goal setting, right? It's easier to make a decision to go after something that you want versus something that you don't want. First steps is set a goal based on something that you actually desire, something that makes you feel good, something that lights you up, right? I want to live till I'm 30. You know, I want to live till I'm 35. That sounds really good. And then guess what? I have to decide I'm going to live till I'm 30.
Yeah.
you know, yeah. Which is, that's a big one. That's life changing. That's life threatening. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Sure.
Some people it's something like, I'm going to start my company or start this side hustle because I hate my full-time job. Mm-hmm. And if you do something with the intention based off of something that you hate,
yeah,
you're not going to decide to do it.
Right.
It's
right.
harder right. to make that, no, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel connected to it. I'm trying to actually get away from it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if I say, hey, I want to do the side hustle or start my own business because this lights me up and I want to make extra money and all these things.
Yeah.
Base it off of something that you actually want.
Right.
And then I'm deciding to do this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and visualization is so important.
Yeah.
It's like, what is your life actually going to look like when you do this?
Yeah.
What do you want to do when you're 30?
Yeah.
Well, I want to get married. I want to have kids. Yeah. You know? And you're all these things that you actually want. And when you can actually sit down and spend time, slow down, and visualize what would it feel like to be 30, healthy, married with a kid,
yeah,
with a business that I love, right, helping people, all these things, and you can actually feel that.
Yeah,
that's energy.
Yeah, you just described my life right there, Meg. That's
what I know.
It's almost like we,
you know, I'm in the top 10. I know.
Yeah, no, you do. No, you do.
I also didn't, you know, tell you I'm psychic, but you know,
yeah. Yeah, that happens when you ask questions, right?
Yeah,
you end up somehow appearing psychic.
Yes, that's just know things.
Yeah, so really, the person that didn't hit their goal really just didn't connect with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might have set something loose or maybe even something concrete, but because they didn't decide to really do it, or maybe because they programmed themselves wrong by the way they stated their goal,
mm-hmm.
they just never committed to following through and just fell short.
Right, right. And then the thing is, not celebrating the small wins.
Yeah.
I'm not going to celebrate until I lose 100 pounds,
mm-hmm.
right? So when I lose 20 but then gain 2, I'm going to harp on myself for
right.
those 2 pounds gained again.
Yeah.
Right? Thinking that success has to be this
straight line.
It's yeah. not,
no.
right? You have to look at the overall, like,
oh, yeah.
back it up, like, big picture. And so, but celebrating the small wins, another great book is Atomic Habits. I mm-hmm. know you've read that.
Yeah, James Clear. Yeah.
And it's like, you got to celebrate the small wins. It actually reprograms your brain to,
yeah.
it gives you this dopamine rush of like, oh my God, celebrating. Wow, I lost half a pound.
Yeah.
Right? That's amazing.
You just got to find a win.
Yeah, find the win. And then you celebrate it and actually retrains your brain to like, oh, I like that. It's like
yeah.
when you, like a sugar high, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I like sugar. I want to do it again.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, wait, I like celebrating myself. I want to do it again. Oh, I'll go back to the gym. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's all about how you train your brain.
Yeah. Are you a football person by chance?
I am, yes.
Okay, awesome.
You know, Northeast.
Yeah, so is that Steelers then?
Steelers.
Okay, yeah.
What, you're...
Yeah, so I'm a big Eagles fan.
Eagles.
Yeah, okay. And I know that just rubs some people in Jersey the wrong way. And, you know, listen, the Giants are great, Jets are great.
Yeah.
I hate everything from the state of Massachusetts.
Wait,
I shouldn't say that, right?
We There's can bond over the Ravens, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, we can do that.
Nobody
yeah.
likes
Nobody
them.
Likes the Ravens. Mm-hmm. But no, I love the Eagles. But no, I was saying that because football coach Art Williams, him and James, he influenced James Clear a lot when James Clear was writing his book, Atomic Habits. He said, you got to celebrate the first downs, not just the touchdowns.
Right. Exactly. Because, and that's another thing too, is if my goal is to win a football game,
yeah.
you're not just going to like,
you're not throwing Hail Marys, you know?
Right. It's like SMART goals, you
yeah.
know, the specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time bound.
Yeah.
It's really effective
yeah.
because I could say, oh, I want to lose 100 pounds. Like, I want to win this football game. But it's like, how are you going to do that? Let's
yeah.
break this down. Well, I'm going to do that by, you know, I'm going to, how long do you want to do it in?
Yeah.
A year.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does that look like per month?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How can you lose, what is that like, let's just say 8 pounds a month, right?
Yeah. yeah.
8 pounds
it's
a month.
A week.
That's 2 a week.
Yeah.
Okay. What does it look like to lose 2 pounds a week?
Yeah. What do right? you do it's, every day? Yeah.
Now I can actually see it.
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of people don't finish their goals, and this is kind of moving into giving up
yeah.
on your goals.
Yeah.
Because I set it too big.
Right. Right.
Right? You got to just downsize it a little bit.
Sure.
Not downsizing the whole picture, but downsizing how you're going to go after.
Right, right.
Right.
Right. So it's okay to set a big goal, but you gotta break it down to what you gotta do every single day.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this is another reason why I think people give up on their goals is
mm-hmm.
because we go right into action.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's big.
Right. And a lot of things like, oh, again, I don't feel connected to it. I feel like I should do this. This person told me to do this, or I'm basing this off of something that I don't like.
Yeah.
But it's all about the connection. I don't have connection to actions. Mm-hmm. I have maybe never even been on this machine in the gym before.
Right.
I have no connection to the actions, and a lot of times I don't want to do the actions. So try getting people to do what they don't want.
Yeah, it's a lot harder to do.
It is a lot harder. It feels a lot harder to do because I don't have the connection. You don't connect to your actions, you connect to your beliefs.
Right.
Right. So going into your potential, you have to look at your beliefs, because a lot of people think it starts with potential. It actually doesn't. It starts with the beliefs that fuel your potential.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, this guy has more potential than me because, you know, he's 6'5 and he's going to play basketball, and I'm only 5'8. I don't have any potential to play basketball. No.
It's about the beliefs.
Yes, because people get so caught up in, like, how much potential do I have that they forget that it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with how much you tap into.
Right.
Because if you think, oh, I'm only 5'8", I can't, this guy's 6'5", I can't play basketball, then you're not going to tap into the potential that could lead you into your actions and then your results. So you got to back it up and say, if you know, this guy who's 5'8", says, no, I believe I'm a basketball player.
Yeah.
His actions are going to look different based on the potential that he taps into. So your belief has to be, And a lot of times it comes down to, I'm enough, I'm good enough, I'm worthy, I deserve to lose 100 pounds.
Right.
You know? I deserve to have this side hustle. I deserve to have a successful company. I deserve to live till I'm 30.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And coming down to the belief of, I deserve this, and I believe I can do this.
Right.
Because if you are doing whatever it is, gym, company, family, whatever, if you are doing something that you actually don't believe you can do, like right now I have a goal of becoming a motivational speaker on a TED Talk.
So I'm
taking this speaking course, I'm doing a lot of speaking engagements, a lot of, you know, podcast opportunities, and those are all actions. But if I believe ultimately that I'm never going to be on a TED Talk because I'm not good enough,
it won't happen. It just won't even happen.
Right. Yeah. So then I'm going to keep doing all these things, right? This podcast, this speaking opportunity, this whatever, right? And I'm going to not feel connected to it because I'm going to be like, man, this just seems like a lot of incessant action and a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it makes me tired and I don't want to do it.
Yeah. And then it's like you get to, I've been doing this for 6 months or I've been doing this for 2 years and it hasn't happened yet.
And then that's when I give up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's so spot on. And it's interesting, you know, Meg, I don't know if you actually know this about me, and I think you do, but for years I studied Krav Maga, you know.
Yes. Military. I did know that. Yeah. I'm top 10.
Right? That's right. That's right. And actually, it's actually really funny because that's how I ended up in the business that I'm in, which is hilarious. But the power of people, you know, right? But one of the things that they don't do for your first belt test, there's different belts, right? But for your first belt test, the instructors don't tell you how long the test is.
Oh.
They just tell you when to show up and what to do to prepare, but they don't tell you how long the test is. And people ask, I asked, they said, well, how long's the test? And they said, hey, if I told you how long the test is, you know, it might give you limiting beliefs. The test might be an hour, it might be 5, might be 3, might be 10, might be 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And the test is as long as the test is, and that's all you need to know.
That's a mind trick right there, right?
Yeah, it's huge. And like, spoiler alert for us, it was a 5-hour test, right?
Dang.
And it was brutal.
Oh,
but it was one of the most mind shifting experiences in my life.
Yeah.
Because I realized how much potential I really had when I didn't have limiting beliefs.
Right.
You know, and I think that almost segues perfectly into why some people don't even try. Because I think you had said it just a minute ago, people almost don't feel worthy of the success or of the change. And it might be because of their past experiences or the way, you know, they grew up or the way they've been programmed or the way 100%. People have treated them. And why don't you talk about that for a minute? Why do you think people don't even try?
People don't even try. Again, like, I'm not connected to it.
Yeah.
I'm basing it off of what I don't want. Somebody else told me to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think I can. I don't think it exists. I don't believe in myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. And again, that big picture of it's too big. So I can't see that for myself.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start. So people don't know where to start.
Yeah.
And because, I don't like not knowing what... how to start, that doesn't feel good because I feel like I don't know anything.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about myself because I don't know how to get started.
Yeah.
It's actually easier for my mind to think on the finishing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to focus on the finish line instead. And it's so big, I can't even see it.
Yeah.
So I say, oh, I can't even see it. I don't even know what this finish line would even look like.
Right.
What would it look like my life after a TED Talk? I don't know.
Yeah.
What would it look like if I lose 100 pounds? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to do it. So I'm going to let the fear of finishing, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. The fear of finishing and not finishing.
Yeah.
Keep me from starting.
Yeah, that's big, you know. And I know Robert, you know, wishes that he was here because we would be laughing. we would never leave the dang
this,
you
know, studio. This would be a 5 hour.
This would be a 5 hour. But yeah, it would be so long.
We, people, yeah,
yeah. But hey, I know Robert's got a really unique take on this. So
the reason why people don't hit their goals, number one, is they don't know what they want. And what it is not that they don't know, they've forgotten. If you think about this, when you were 5 years old, someone asked you, what do you want? Guess what? People want to be firefighters, police officers, presidents of the United States, professional sports players. They all have these big goals and big dreams. I remember somebody saying, I want to be a superhero. Well, why can't you? See, what happens is we go through life, we start to give up on the things that we want, not because we want to give up on them, but because someone told us we can never be them. And what we do is we give up on those goals, and that's one of the reasons why people stop going after what they want. Not because they want to give up on them, because they listen to the people that tell them that they can, versus surrounding themselves with people that tell them that they can. The second reason why people don't hit their goals is they don't want to commit to the work that it takes to get to the destination that they want to get to. See, we all can say, I want to make more money, but when the requirement comes of what we have to do to get it, most people say, you know what, never mind, it's okay. And they start to become okay with where they're at. They get comfortable being uncomfortable. And you can turn that the other way. So if you think about this, how many of y'all are comfortable with the money you make? See, most people say no. But then when you show them the requirement of what it takes to get what they want, most people give up because they go, well, that's kind of uncomfortable. So really, reality, what uncomfortable do you want to choose? You want to choose the one where you're uncomfortable and stay comfortable being uncomfortable now? Or learning something new and become comfortable with something uncomfortable to get what you want? I decided a long time ago I was going to get what I wanted no matter what I had to do. And that's the reason why I'm willing to get uncomfortable, so that way I can go after what I want, because I am not comfortable in the uncomfortable spot I'm in now. So if I'm going to be uncomfortable, might as well do it going after what I want. And the third reason why I think people give up on their goals is they don't put themselves in the right environment. See, if you want to succeed, you got to be surrounded by the right people that are going after the success. Can a broke person teach someone how to make money? Can a unsuccessful person teach someone how to be unsuccessful? Can someone who weighs 350 pounds teach someone how to lose weight? Can someone who doesn't have a six-pack or look like what they're doing teach someone how to get a six-pack? Can a bad parent teach someone how to be a good parent? See, you got to surround yourself with the right people, with the things, the qualities, skills of what you want. If you want to be a good parent, you got to surround yourself with good parents. If you want to be a good steward of your money, you got to surround yourselves with good stewards of money. You want to be around successful people. I mean, you want to be successful, you got to surround yourself with successful people. But most people don't realize, they think they can keep being the person they were and get to where they want. And in reality, that's not going to work. See, you're only as good as the people you hang out with. Who are you hanging out with? Who are you spending time with? Who are you listening to? Are you hanging out with people that tell you you can't do something? Are you hanging out with people that say, hey, you can achieve anything you want? Are you hanging out with people that are telling you or keeping you down with their foot on your throat? Are you hanging out with people that get you, dust you up and say, hey, let's go at this again? See, notice I said, let's go at this again. I didn't say, hey, go get it. I said, let's go at this again. See, every one of you can hit the goal that you want. Every one of you can have what you want. The challenge is, number one, is you don't know what you want, or you forgot about it. You're not willing to make the commitment to do the work, and then you're in the wrong environment. See, when you fix those three things, you remember what you want, or you know what you want, okay? You commit to the work and you put yourself in the right environment, you can achieve anything. Yes, anything. Even those things that you just had thoughts of what you think you can't do, you can achieve that too. See, if you thought you couldn't be a millionaire, I'm telling you right now, you can be a millionaire. You thought you couldn't become a superhero? Guess what? You can become a superhero. A superhero is not someone with laser eyes or can melt things or do this or do that. A superhero is someone that goes and helps other people. That's a superhero. Think about this. Jesus was a superhero. Why can't you be like him? Because you are made just like him. So I'm telling you, decide what you want, commit to the work, and put yourself in the right environment. That way you don't miss your goals.
Well, hey, Robert, thank you for that amazing perspective, man. So valuable as always, and we always have a good time shooting together. And it's funny because, you know, obviously, you know, we had Meg on the coffee break on Tuesday, but we still have not made the three of us, like, in person happen yet, and we will. And that'll probably be like a 5-hour podcast episode.
Right, because when it's Joe Rogan style.
Yeah, right. And it's funny. It's actually interesting you mentioned that, because Robert and I were thinking about buying, you know, the really nice, the mics where you can just, like, pull it in and pull it out, yeah, kind of a thing, and just having them in the back and setting it up on the table. But anyway, Meg, so we're going to wrap up for today, you know. And before we do, do that, and before I kind of tell people where to get in contact with you and whatnot, man, what are some final words you have about making sure, making sure that quarter two is not like quarter one. Mm-hmm. If somebody either didn't hit their goal, or if somebody gave up on their goal, or if somebody didn't even try, or maybe they hit their goal because they set too small of a goal. But what do you think? What's the biggest thing somebody has to do to make quarter two better than quarter one?
Mm-hmm. Decide that it's going to be.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like. If you hit your goal and decide that quarter two is going to be better, set another goal. If you gave up on your goal, decide quarter two is going to be better. I'm going to get back to it.
Right.
Right? I can change my mind anytime. Giving yourself permission to change your mind. Also, if you set a goal that was too big and that's not achievable, going back to making those SMART goals, change your mind and say, you know what, in quarter two, I'm going to focus on maybe a little bit smaller of a goal, but I'm going to commit to it.
Right.
Right? And same thing if you did not even start. You know, that actually happened to me.
Yeah.
I said I was going to get back on my Duolingo and learn Spanish, you know, before my trip to Spain in May. And I did not do that.
Yeah.
So it's just saying, you know what? It's never too late to start.
Right.
So I'm going to start. I'm going to decide that I'm going to get back to it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be something achievable, attainable, 10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Right? Start small.
Sure.
Don't be afraid to start small. It is not a bad thing to start small.
No, that's 100% right. You know, and I think we'll close out with some words from one of my favorite Navy SEALs, Jocko Willick. I got, you know, without us going back down a whole other road, I got to meet him right outside of Pennsylvania a couple years ago, which was the most amazing experience. He's definitely as badass as people think he is. But he says, you know, reset, readjust, reignite, and re-engage, you know? So guys, thank you so much for plugging in, man. Hey, if you want to connect, don't even if you want to connect, you're going to connect with Meg Ellis because she brings so much value, and she's an amazing friend, mentor, life coach. She's got a podcast, Let's Create Your Fate. Create Your Fate, it's on Spotify, Apple, it's anywhere you can get your podcast is where you can find her podcast. You should check it out. Go follow her on Instagram. Go follow her podcast on Instagram at Create Your Fate. And it's a real live mermaid, right? Is your personal one.
My personal one is a real live mermaid. If you're just listening to the audio, I have bright red hair, and it just kind of was this thing that stuck.
Yeah.
And so I've contemplated getting rid of that, but I don't know.
No, it's part of you now.
I know,
right?
It's part of me. I think I'm just going to stick with it.
So go connect with Meg because I know she'll help you create your fate and get to where you want to go. And again, always, guys, thank you so much for plugging in with Robert and I with Unleash Your Potential. We'll be back again next week on Thursday. And this episode will probably drop by the time you listen to it. It obviously already dropped, but it'll probably, for the people that are watching on social media, it'll drop like in the next 2-3 days. All right, guys, take care.